Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Iowa Computer Repair. Keeping your business running, iowacomputerrepair.com. And the Strudel House, an Austrian restaurant and bakery, the taste of Europe in Des Moines, strudelhouse.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and with us in studio is Larry James. He is the chairman of the board for Bridges of Iowa. We're going to spend some time talking about the drug and, well, the addiction issue that plagues so many communities in so many states across the United States, and then talk about the impact on business and also what Bridges of Iowa attempts to do. Larry, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
It's been some time.
It has.
Yeah,
it has.
We're always anxious to have you back, though. First of all, let's set the stage here about what is Bridges of Iowa, and then we'll get into some of these particulars.
Bridges of Iowa is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that was started by Don Lamberti, Tom Joukowsky, and myself about 20 years ago.
Mm.
And the whole idea at the time was to set up a diversion. We really originally started off with a halfway house, and we were going to bring people out of prison. And that kind of morphed into, because we weren't seeing the results, to starting a treatment part, a treatment program. And it developed over the years to today, we have something, I think, less than about 300 people in the program right now. And we have 130 people in the West Wing of the Polk County Jail. We're the only certified, CARF-certified jail program in the country.
Really?
Yeah. And
why would that be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, let's back up here for a second. I think everybody wants people to be accountable for what they do.
Sure.
That's the hallmark of our program, accountability. When people do stupid things and get themselves in trouble with the law, 70% of the time, 70% of those people, statistically, are there because of drugs or alcohol. They've got to be ready to be treated. They've got to be ready for treatment. But it's a lot less expensive to take somebody through a program like ours. It costs $20,000 a year to run somebody through it. And our program's a year long. It costs $20,000 to take somebody through that program. It costs $34,000, according to the Iowa Department of Corrections,
to keep somebody
in jail and keep somebody in prison. 15% of the people that go to jail end up going to prison.
Hmm.
So 85% of the people that go to jail are back on the streets. So if we can stop this at the jail level, at that level, we can keep people from going to prison, and we can save families and businesses a lot of money.
How did you get so involved in this?
Families,
yeah.
I say this to people: there isn't a family in this country or an extended family that doesn't have someone or somebody's involved in the family that have a problem with drugs or alcohol. And I've said that. I only remember one guy that I said that to, and he said, "Oh no, not in my family." I knew very well he had it in his family.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that way in my family, and I've had people in my family in prison. And when they go to prison, we all go to prison. When they go to prison, we end up taking care of their kids, and we end up taking care of, we pay for them to be in prison. And so I go back to, we have to make people accountable for what they do. So the way we do that is we have people, we start off, and what we partnered up a few years back with St. Gregory's Retreat Centers.
Right.
And they have a protocol using mental health, using science. And the first 60 days, they go through a cognitive and neurocognitive treatment program. That's the
game changer.
That is the game changer. And then,
because this is as much a mental condition
as
a physical
condition. It's what a lawyer like me would call it, and I'm not a doctor, but I call this situational mental illness. You know, you hear these stories that people in prison are mentally ill. Well, they're mentally ill. They have symptoms of mental illness because of their amount of abuse of drugs and alcohol, for the majority of them.
Hmm.
So anyway, when you put somebody through 60 days of good treatment, and then you 54% of the people that come to our program don't have a high school degree. So we've been working with DMACC to send them through programs so they can get their high school equivalency. We teach them life skills, work skills. They have to pay their fines. The average fines of people coming into our program are $14,000.
Huh.
So they got to pay their fines back. They've got to pay their child support. And they've got to save money while they're in our program. Now, the result of all of this is we get rid of all of the impediments to getting back into society. You know, you can take somebody and put them in jail and let them out of jail. They've got fines. They get no help. They still hang around. They still walk around in life with that scarlet letter on them. And we never let them get it off.
Right.
So what we try to do in our program, and we've had a fair amount of success, and we've had great cooperation from the 5th Judicial District in this area, from Polk County. The Polk County Sheriff has just been amazing. That's why this program is working.
Well, Bill understands that, the Polk County Sheriff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he does.
He's amazing. I mean, he is because he understands that if we don't do something like this, it fills up his jail.
Right. Yeah.
This craziness to have. He's got room there to put 1,500 people in jail in Polk County. Well, right now he's got about 1,000 or less because we take up half of the west wing of the Polk County Jail, and we use that as our treatment facility.
Mm.
And that's been a game changer. So once they go through our program, they don't go back to jail.
Larry James is our guest. He is the chairman of the board of Bridges of Iowa. We're talking about a drug interdiction on a curative level, if you will. Larry, drug and alcohol abuse have a concerted impact on business. And you know, we've been talking about people that go to jail.
Right.
But there's a whole segment of society out there that maybe doesn't see the inside of a jail cell, but still they have some real issues with drug or alcohol abuse.
10 to 12% of the population, of any population, almost any population in the world, have a problem with drugs and alcohol. Those are pretty solid statistics.
So if we've got...
By the way, among lawyers, it's 20 to 25%.
Well, that's because they're lawyers.
Well, it's because it's a very intense profession.
I
don't know what physicians are, but I think that's pretty high as well.
I would argue with you that you're absolutely spot on, that anybody that has one of those intense type of jobs is liable to abuse. When we talk about abuse of alcohol or drugs, one of the things that's getting a lot of talk right now is opioid dependency and opioid overdoses.
Right.
And this has become a medical emergency in lots of areas because people who correct me if I'm wrong, but people are legally prescribed drugs for pain. Mm-hmm. They get on those drugs for pain. They can't get off of those drugs. And sometimes they're just upping the ante. And apparently it's relatively easy to get hooked.
It is. And what you're finding around the country, and we're finding it here as well, is after a while it's hard, you know, if you're abusing it that badly, it's hard to get a hold of it. It's more expensive to get a hold of it. So then you go to heroin. So the heroin addiction has gone up, not only here but around the country.
Yeah, it has. All right. So the impact on business, if 10% of the population has issues, so if you've got 500 employees, you've got several that are sitting out there that aren't working to capacity.
Right. And there are some enlightened professions You know, the legal profession, I know people wouldn't think the legal – some people wouldn't think the legal profession was very enlightened, but it is. They have a program for attorneys. They can come in and they can get help. And if more businesses were able to do that, and under the Affordable Care Act, and we don't know how that's going to sort out now this year, but under the Affordable Care Act, there is the ability for people to get treatment, even mental health treatment and drug and alcohol treatment. Like I say, I don't know where that's going to go. None of us know where that's going to go. But
I don't think the people in Washington know where it's going to go.
No, I don't think they do either.
Yeah, that's becoming more and more clear every day.
But people can take advantage of that. And, again, it's people have to be ready for treatment. And sometimes it's a loss of a job. Many years ago, I had a dear friend of mine who was that I worked with that had a real serious problem, and his boss picked him up from his house and took him over to Powell,
mm-hmm.
and he said to him, "You're going in that door and you're going to get treatment because if you don't, you're not going to have a job when you come out." And he knew that job meant a lot to him. So there are many triggers for
He's
people.
He's motivated.
He got motivated, yeah. and he whipped it. But there are many triggers for people to, you know, about 15% of the population that can just stop. They don't, for whatever reason, then they go to AA or they go to whatever program works for them. You know, the way we look at it, whatever program works for people,
go for it. Yeah. Well, with a rising tide, you know, and the other thing, you know, we're taking a look now at an attorney general designee who may swap some. We just had a story on just today, about six stores, marijuana stores, interestingly enough, in Seattle that are for sale for $50 million. If you want in,
I don't want anything to do with it.
but you know, legalization of pot has brought its own issues to bear. Some individuals say that that's a gateway drug. Others say that's a bunch of nonsense.
Well,
I don't know.
They're all gateway drugs.
Everything.
But
is.
here's the thing that.
So is it? Is
here's
the,
here's just an here's an observation.
Yeah.
Just an observation from the guy that's been hanging around this really for 20 years looking at this stuff. If kids get on, whether it's booze or marijuana or whatever their drug of choice is, but generally it's been marijuana. It does impact their education, and by the time they get to their late teens, it can have an impact on them. You know, the frontal lobe of somebody, and again, I'm not a doc, but I'm just, you know, talking in plain terms. The frontal lobe of a male doesn't mature. My wife will tell you mine has never matured, but doesn't mature
Yours
until
too.
They're between 22 and 24 years of age. Well, if you one of the things I couldn't understand as a lawyer, I'd take guys into the courthouse that I was defending, and I thought, these guys act like they're 13 years old. Well, it's because they've been smoking dope since they were 13 years old, and it has stunted their maturity. Well, you get them off of that marijuana for a few months, and all of a sudden there's an adult standing to you. Did you have any sons?
Yeah, sure.
Did you send them to school or the military?
Well, I sent them to school.
When they came home from school one time, did they walk in and look like adults?
Well, it took a while.
It takes a while. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do know what you're
talking
about.
Well, it's the same phenomena. You know, you see somebody that's been on marijuana a long time, and I'm not gonna debate the whether it's good or bad. It all can be abused.
Sure.
Okay? But I can tell you that I'm worried about kids and about kids getting on any of this stuff. And we can legalize it or not legalize it. Kids are going to get it anyway. If they want to get it, they can get it. Mm. And that bothers me.
So. Larry James, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. We've been talking about Bridges of Iowa. Now, you threw out a figure early in our conversation about $30,000 a year in treatment.
Our costs are about $20,000 a year.
$20,000,
and it costs $34,000. According to the last number that we got from the Department of Corrections in Iowa, about $34,000 to keep somebody in. Now,
So where do you get that $20,000?
Well, we get it through a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten it from Medicaid. We've gotten it from grants. We have to get it through various sources.
And businesses can be assistive?
Businesses can certainly help. But the issue is there is no permanent, what I'll call permanent source of providing for drug treatment. You know, we spend these billions every year putting people in jail, and somewhere between 1% and 2% of those dollars go to drug and alcohol treatment. Doesn't seem to make a hell of a lot of sense when 70% of the people that are in prisons today are nonviolent, and those people are there because of drugs and alcohol. Makes no sense. But, again, I'm going to end this deal today by talking about accountability. We have to set up programs that make people accountable for what they do. And being accountable doesn't necessarily mean you go sit your backside in a jail cell. It comes into a program like ours, and they're going to work hard to get back in life. And you need to come to one of our graduations.
I bet it's an emotional experience.
If you want tears to come to your eyes, and I get teased all the time because I cry at every one of them, and see the good men and women that we graduate, I mean, it's rewarding.
There you go. Larry James, ladies and gentlemen, it's called Bridges of Iowa. If you missed any or all of this particular conversation that we've had with him, we will have it up on our podcast. Larry, thanks for doing this again.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Bridges of Iowa. All right, we got to back out of here for a moment and check out what happened today on Wall Street. Stocks go up or down? We will share that information when we do the Wall Street Report next on the Business News Hour.